Hello and welcome to Beyond the Dashboard, your guide to understanding the world of key performance indicators. I'm your host, Steve Taylor, and each episode we'll be demystifying a new KPI, diving deep into its significance, debunking myths, and offering actionable steps for improvement. Whether you're leading a small or large MSP, or maybe just a brilliant technician looking to level up your business management skills, this is the place for you. So sit back, tune in, and get ready to go beyond the surface, beyond the complexity, and truly understand what lies beyond the dashboard. Today, my guest is Gray Mabry, CEO of iVenture Solutions, an MSP with around 200 employees in Jacksonville, Florida. iVenture uses Net Promoter Score and other metrics to generate their own metric they call the Persona Score. Gray, can you talk to us about that?
Net Promoter is a big part of how we measure our customers and how they feel about the company. But Net Promoter is really the question of, would you refer us to a close friend or colleague? And then it's a score of 1 through 10, 10 being emphatically you would refer us or recommend us, and 1 being not at all. And then the key with Net Promoter is the next question is, and why did you choose the score? So it asks the rater to give some background and reasoning. And the real beauty of the score is really the answer to that question.
Now, you've taken NPS and CSAT to a whole new level. You've kind of almost made your own new metric. Can you tell us what is this new metric and how do you define it?
In a nutshell, we call it the customer persona score. Like most people, we've done customer satisfaction ratings, and then we moved to Net Promoter to get a little bit deeper. But what we were finding is that these were all very general measurements. And I guess a way to say it is, you know, you measure that and everything looks green and happy. And then you talk with a client in person and you realize they're very frustrated with something that's going on. So with the persona score project, what we did is we analyzed all the communication and continually analyzed all the communication that goes in and out through our ticketing system, through some email. And then we basically assign a persona to the users of the customer and the customer as a whole. And then we score the customer against that persona.
Why don't you fill me in on the different types of personas there are?
We've got about 6 or 7, but I'll give a couple of the ones that stand out as an example. We classified one, we call this person Happy Harry. And when we look at how they communicate with us, the things that they say to us in their tickets, how they email us, we see this is the person who, you know, iVenture can do no wrong. They're very happy with our service. They say, you know, they're a boost for the morale of our employees. They're the ones who are great referral sources. And so that's one, you know, so we would have that persona, and then we might score someone within that persona as to how strong of a Happy Harry are they. Going to the other end of the spectrum, you would have what we call a looking Larry. So this is a person that's giving indications that they're not terribly happy with the service and how they talk to us, how they write to us. Maybe we're doing a great job on that ticket, but overall, the way that they're engaging us is telling us they're apt to look around. They're not one to renew. They may not be the best referral source. And so we can then score that. And then with all of these different personas, we can score. And then we have a different playbook to how do you best serve a customer that's in that state. That's really what the metric tells us is, where are they? Like, what are they? Like, what persona are they? Where do they sit in that spectrum? And then most importantly, we have some really great talented people of experts, but where should they spend their time and energy and doing what activities? So what's interesting is you could have a Happy Harry and you could have a looking Larry within the same company. As an action we might take is, okay, let's wrap our arms around Happy Harry. Let's make sure that our account manager makes it a point to stop by and see that person. So obviously we want to reinforce the relationship, but then it might be when we have an issue with that client and looking Larry is stuck on something, we might enlist Happy Harry to help and say to the Happy Harry, hey, can you come with me and meet with so-and-so over here? You guys have figured this out in your department. Maybe if we all talk, we can do it. So the idea is we can take our advocate. We know who our advocates are within the client, and then we can use them to communicate with other people in the client to hopefully, you know, turn the corner on some of those issues. Another point is, simply put, when you have a looking Larry, it tells us, hey, this is a person, of course, be extra sensitive to their service, make sure we're solving their problems thoroughly and quickly. But also, again, if I'm an account manager, let's make sure that I'm making an extra point to stop by that person's office, to reach out to them on Teams, to double down on my efforts to build that relationship.
I really love the idea of taking one of your contacts from a client and like using them as a weapon against the other contact at a client who maybe doesn't have as strong of a relationship with you. That's genius.
Yeah, it happens naturally sometimes, meaning you have an, I mean, like we've all been in a meeting with several people from a client and we have like our cheerleaders in the room. And what we're doing is we're allowing our really talented people to use really good data to have really targeted activities. And I think that's the key is, you know, when you're talking about servicing hundreds or thousands of our clients, in our case, hundreds of clients and thousands of users, it's impossible to, even the best account manager in the world, you can't wrap your arms around that many relationships. And so the idea is giving them really good data to be highly effective in how they go about their day.
The way you've kind of set this up is you've got the Net Promoter Score, which I think you are still asking your clients for, right?
Correct. I mean, we do a version of it. We call it a service experience score, okay, where it's a bit Net Promoter and then a bit based on, you know, what are some of the functional metrics, response time, resolution time, and it boils us up to this experience score.
So you've got your experience score, and then you've also got kind of your personas that you've put together. And interestingly enough, you're also starting to use large language models to take all of this information and put it all together.
Absolutely. So when I look back at our past metrics, they're all point in time. I mean, you know, it's basically a version of a SQL report that's turned into some Power BI metric. So we're creating dashboards like I think most companies. And so what this enabled us to do is get that missing, I guess, the human component to the data. So we take all the written communication that comes in and out. Our future is to transcribe in real time all of our calls that come into our support desk. We want to transcribe those, feed that into the language model. And the language model is what's doing the analysis of what's the true sentiment between an individual and their experience with iVenture. Let the language model then decipher and then give us a state, and this is what builds the persona, as to what's really going on with that individual. And then of course the language model can pull all a collection of users and conversations together to get a feel for a client. But that's how we're using it. It's basically to analyze just this unstructured data that's flowing in and out of our business at a very rapid pace, thousands of interactions a day. No human could ever see those patterns and that insight, and that's how we're using it.
Is this something that you developed in-house?
So it's an in-house product that we developed with a local partner that is it's a machine learning company. I mean, they're focused on language processing and machine learning. We got to know them through, they're actually a client, so we got to know them through that relationship and realize that they had a really unique gift and a ton of experience doing this. Before everybody was talking about language models, they were already doing this. So we basically enlisted the help of a local expert in this area to get us further down the road. The initial thought process was anything that we can do to better manage our clients and, quite frankly, minimize attrition. You know, if there's a metric we want to track real heavy, it's attrition. So if there's anything we can do to minimize attrition and get ahead of situations and get ahead of sentiment in a client that may not be favorable or use favorable sentiment to our behalf. So it was all about minimizing attrition for us. As we started to talk more about the platform, we've met other MSPs that are doing things with, do like projects in-house with Azure language tools. We don't have it on our roadmap to sell. Maybe one day we will. We're always open to talking about it with other MSPs that are doing similar because we learn through those conversations. But I don't know, maybe one day that'll be the product that we offer.
When you look at just the NPS, what are some ways that you've learned to review and action off of the numbers on an NPS?
So for us, and you know, we, as we've blended it into that service experience score, the score itself, I mean, it's an indicator that there's a client to double down on, they're having a great experience or a referral. Like, what are we doing there that works so well? So to answer the question, sometimes the natural instinct is to look at the low score and then go try to fix it, which of course we do, right? Like, you know, we look at an NPS score, we see that it's low, we look at the comments, we go look at what was behind the service experience and we try to fix it. The other part, and this is the part that I think a lot of people overlook, because we look at the high scores, who was just having a wonderful service experience, who has a top score in that area. And then we go analyze, well, what are we doing? What's working there? Is it something about the client? Is it something about how the team services that client? What is it there that we need to copy and replicate to the other clients that may not be as high? So sometimes we'll flip the script and say, instead of focusing on the low and trying to move them high, let's focus on the high. And what are the nuggets that we need to pull out to share with the rest of the client base?
Are there any other things that you think MSPs should think about when it comes to measuring the satisfaction of their clients?
I think we live in a world of instant response. Response time used to be the end all be all, right? How quickly can you respond to the customer? And I mean, if you think about our world as a self-service, you know, I hate to use the phrase an Amazon environment. You know, I open the app, I tap, something shows up at my doorstep 2 hours later. So we have an instant gratification. We're getting instant response. What I'm finding is in the world of self-service and instant response, when something goes wrong or it gets beyond the scope of an instant response thing, and we get into like a more, I guess, a more meaty issue, it's really about measuring now what's the customer experience look like. So once we go beyond the low-hanging fruit and we get into something deeper, for us, what we're measuring is how quickly, not from how quickly do we respond, but how quickly did we solve the meaty issue? I guess I'm not giving a super clear and concise answer, but just looking at how quickly we respond and knock out tier one issues, that's really important. I mean, that's an important part of the business for sure. But then it's measuring, I would say, the more in-depth things. What did those outliers look like? How long did those things go on? Because I think that's where the customer is really starting to feel it. We've all become accustomed to quick response and getting those low-hanging fruit things, the Amazon orders knocked out. But then when we need real expertise, now we're measuring what's the quality of that engagement and how long did that take and what was the quality of that interaction with
company. Thanks, Gray, for such awesome insights. I really appreciate having you as a guest. We've all been there. The phone rings, your largest client is on the line, totally panicked. Their CEO spilled coffee all over her laptop and it's completely dead. Everything she needed for her investor presentation tomorrow was on that laptop. There's nothing more heart-stopping than losing business critical data. Whether you get hit with ransomware, hardware failure, or human error, data loss can be a business-ending event. Backups are your final stand when a threat penetrates your layers of defense. That's where Comet Backup comes in. Comet is a secure, reliable backup solution designed specifically for MSPs. Protect computers, servers, virtual environments, emails, and databases. You choose where the data is stored. Backup to local on-prem storage or any of the leading cloud providers to slash your storage costs. Comet grows with your business with scalable per-device pricing. Test drive Comet Backup with a 30-day free trial. Get $50 free credit when you sign up with the promo code ROCKETMSP. Start running backups in 15 minutes or less at CometBackup.com. Comet Backup, the backup solution that MSPs trust.